This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Payne here live from the MVP Studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. Editor-in-Chief of Extremist.com, Rob Toledo, is going to join me to give the latest updates on MoviePass and speak about other happenings in the world of streaming. Thanks for joining me, Rob.
Thanks for having me on.
Got to talk about this. MoviePass, what's happening with your boy, MoviePass?
My boy MoviePass has ran away from home, and I haven't heard from him in months. It has just kind of been a tragedy of a product that I think is just was just a little too good to be true. And I think, you know, if I'm being honest, I knew that was the case. I think everyone knew that was the case. They've just kind of had a nightmare of a month. I can't even use it right now. I'll check it in the morning, and they'll only show me like two or maybe three movies if I'm lucky that I'm able to go to that day. And then by the time, you know, 6 p.m., 7 p.m. rolls around and I would go to the movie, they're just unexplainably unavailable all of a sudden. And so the app's not working. They had a big issue this last month, and a lot of people are thinking that it might not have been an accident, but where they were, you know, people were unsubscribing and then MoviePass was just automatically renewing them, and so they were getting charged. And, you know, this company, I tell you what, I would only wish the best because it was such a fun product, but I think it's on its last legs here.
MoviePass, they canceled the annual subscription. So what's going to happen to those who paid for it? Are they going to get their money back?
They're apparently moving people from an annual subscription. Memory serves, they started doing a big marketing push around this time last year. And so it's for people who are trying to renew the annual pass. They're unable to do so. So these are people who have probably gotten their year, and we'll see more of this happening in the next couple months. And MoviePass has moved them to a monthly subscription where you're getting charged every month. Therefore, it's a little bit more expensive. And with all the problems they've had in the last couple weeks and months, you know, more and more people are certainly going, well, do I really want to keep paying for this? And I think the answer for a large percentage of them is no.
I'm kind of waiting for a class action suit, only because at this point, you can't see this movie. You can't see that movie. They're charging you when they shouldn't be charging you. Do you think this is going to happen in the future?
As far as I'm aware, there's already a couple going.
Wow.
I've seen ads, you know, how sometimes you'll see ads for class action lawsuits around, like if you've been on a website, it'll tell you like, oh, or that company is now under a class action lawsuit, see if you qualify. I've seen those. I don't know what their objective is. I'm not sure how many people are really going to go after MoviePass for their, you know, their $90 back or whatever. And I don't know. I've been a part of a few like large scale class action lawsuits before, and I get a check in the mail for like $15, and I have to fill out all this paperwork. I'm like, that was way too much work. Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of pissed off consumers who paid for one thing and then are not getting it, you know, who are going to be look for an outlet. And I think a class action lawsuit is going to get a lot of steam. Back on that Costco note, you know, I bought mine through Costco. Well, I called them to ask if I could return my MoviePass package that I bought through them at the beginning of last year, or excuse me, the end of last year. And they said, yep, it falls under the normal return policy that Costco has. So if I wanted to go get my full, you know, year subscription refunded, I could do so.
Wow. So you kind of made out then, if that was the case, right?
Yeah. I haven't done it yet because I need to actually drive to a Costco to do it. Been a little lazy, but you know, I still think at some point it's like, well, if this service keeps taking up the room the way it has, I think that's certainly a viable option for a lot of people.
Well, you can return it, get your money back, and go to AMC A-List. At least you get free
upgrades, right? That's the one I think everyone's kind of jumping ship to. There's two kind of competitors that AMC A-List is the big name, and then there's a smaller one called Cinema, spelled S-I-N-E-M-A. They're a little bit more expensive, and they also have less availability. I think you can go to 3 movies a month or something like that. But it was pretty funny. We wrote kind of a negative article on Extremist about MoviePass, and like within a I'd say an hour, we got an email from Cinema's press team saying, hey, do you want to subscribe to this? I was like, wow, that's you guys are on top of it. Capitalizing when somebody's down, when your competitor is down, I can respect that.
All right, so this one I'm really excited about, Disney's streaming service. For a while, everybody thought it was called Disney Play, but I guess it's not called Disney Play. It's unnamed at this point. But what do you think about it? Have you heard anything about it?
Yeah, I've done a little bit of homework on this. First off, on that Play comment, I thought that was so funny because it's better than 50-50 chance that that's probably what it's going to be called, and somebody just slipped up.
Ooh, okay.
I think Variety was the news outlet that got about the story and they called it Disney Play and then Disney issued a correction or whatever. And, you know, I think it certainly makes sense that, you know, you would call a streaming service, you know, Disney Play. It just makes sense. So I wouldn't doubt that that's probably what it ends up being named, but we'll see. The thing that surprised me more than anything, though, was that they're not going to release it until late 2009. So we're still over a year away. And people have been talking about this thing for, I don't know, at least last year it's been pretty common knowledge that Disney's going to do this. And I think the rumors circulating for a long time had been, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, everyone's like, Disney's definitely going to get into this game. In fact, there were a lot of rumors that they might just buy Netflix or, you know, release a new streaming service like they're doing now. But, you know, to have taken so long, it seems like Disney would be moving a little faster with this, you know, with as much, you know, weight they can throw around. The other thing that I think is super interesting that I've heard, and these are just rumors, so, you know, don't quote me on this on your radio show, is that I think it's going to be pretty modular, if I understand correctly. Kind of a, you can subscribe to a base level streaming service that has kind of a, you know, a small list of things that you can choose to watch or meet, you know, like an average size list. And then you're going to be able to add different packages on, you know, like, oh, if you want the Disney cartoons or if you want Lucasfilms or you want Marvel, like you have to kind of package it all together. I don't know exactly if that's, you know, what that's going to look like or if it's even the direction they're heading, but that's the rumor I've been hearing. And it'll be interesting to see if Disney can pull it off because honestly, it sounded really confusing to me at first.
That sounds like cable. I'll be honest with you, yeah. Like an a la carte cable. I don't know.
At the end of the day, I think that's where we're going to end up. Is, you know, one company like of Disney's size that just goes pay for 6-7 packages and it'll be about $60 to $80 a month, and that's going to be about what your normal cable package costs anyway.
If Disney decides to do this, what's going to happen to Netflix and Hulu originals, Daredevil, Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, all that stuff?
As far as I'm aware, Netflix and Marvel have an independent deal that is continuing. I don't know how long the deal is necessarily going to keep going or if they're going to renew it or whatever, but as far as I know, those are Netflix-owned shows, so they're not going anywhere, at least when Disney releases their version of the streaming service. You know, Disney Artists, formerly known as Play, will, you know, not have exclusive rights to that content, even though they own the Marvel Universe. Netflix will keep tabs on them. I'm actually not sure what happened to Hulu, but of course, you know, if you think about who owns Hulu, well, Disney owns 66 or 68-something percent of Hulu, so I'm going to be very interested to see what happens to Hulu in the future because of how much Disney owns of it. Like, does Disney just kind of wrap it into this existing or this new ecosystem they're creating, or do they kill it off, which would be really shocking, and I don't think they would do that. But, you know, as far as what they're planning on doing with the Hulu content that belongs to them, I'm not sure yet. It'll certainly be fascinating to watch.
With the Disney and Fox merger, do you think they're going to do the same thing with all the Fox stuff? Like, all that's going to be pulled from Netflix and Hulu?
Probably, right? I mean, if you're Disney and you want to really, A, tick off your competitor, and B, you know, launch with a lot of content, like, it kind of makes sense that they would do that, right? I mean, Disney has to be looking at the stuff that they've got on Netflix now. Like, you know, they've got some of the Star Wars, the newer Star Wars movies. They've, you know, they've got other content on there. I would say nothing is safe on Netflix when it comes to Disney-owned properties at this point.
This is turning out to be a real juggernaut, and I'm not going to lie, I may buy some of those streaming services,
totally.
Right?
I mean, it's Disney. You know, like, they own everything. I don't know what the exact number was, but somebody tweeted or something, so I don't know if this is official, but it was like Disney owns like 40% of every movie that comes out in the theaters now.
Oh, wow.
Like, really, they're probably gunning for 100%. Like, you know, it's just, they are a behemoth and they are a powerhouse, and, you know, to see them jumping into the streaming game certainly only legitimizes it further, but also, you know, if I'm a small competitor or even a large competitor like Netflix, like, you have to be pretty nervous about this, even if they won't show it on the surface.
Oh, absolutely. They're going to be nervous. I'm just thinking, like, how Disney pops out incredible actors, you know, and they go from child star to full-grown adult star, Zac Efron, you're right? So,
right, yeah.
You can just imagine what their original programming is going to be like. It's going to be out of this world.
Yep,
I'm
yep.
looking forward to it. I want to see these titans fight and give me some good entertainment.
Yeah, oh yeah. But like you're saying, like the Marvel and the Lucas, you know, Star Wars, like they own all that. And they're going to certainly have a great platform to promote it on when the streaming service launches. So they're going to come out with a bang. I know Netflix has to be nervous about this stuff. Now, you know, Netflix, of anyone, has done a pretty good job kind of insulating themselves from, you know, the great content purge of yesteryear when, you know, a bunch of shows have kind of slowly but surely all been pulled from Netflix over the past 3 or 4 years with their own original content, certainly. But at the same time, like, can they outpace Disney? Oh boy, that's going to be an interesting fight for sure.
Now, one thing about Netflix, and I'm wondering if they're going to have to change this, when it comes to their hidden categories, are they going to even have those anymore? Won't they have to be a bit more transparent of what their catalog is in the future?
I always find this hidden category thing so funny, because I'll be scrolling through and they're just like sometimes so specific and out of left field, like because I've watched one movie of you know, demographic data that suggests I might like more in that same series, you know. You know, so I think that's kind of how they slowly started, people started figuring out that Netflix had these categories, as, you know, they're scrolling through and it's like, you know, dark comedies that take place in the ocean, like, okay, you know, or I'm making that example up, but they're not too far off from that, right? Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think we've talked about this in the past, and I think with Netflix, it's tough because, you know, I think I've said before, they don't really have that much content. You know, they have like 5,000, 5,500 titles on their U.S.-based, you know, subscription, and that's not really that much if you think about how many movies and TV shows are out there that they could have. And so, you know, they kind of like to disguise it in their interface by showing you kind of a small section of what they do have, and then it kind of makes it feel like there could be more. And I think that's kind of been the running joke with these hidden categories, is like, well, there are a whole bunch more, and I would like to explore them. How do I get to them? And, you know, no one really knows. It's like, it's not intuitive for just the everyday consumer to try and figure that out.
I don't know if you know this one, and I'm a little curious about it because I've been trying to research it myself. VRV. Have you heard about that streaming service?
No, I haven't even heard of it.
I didn't hear about it either. So a couple days ago, I saw Nick Splatt. And Nick Splatt is...
Okay, yep.
Okay, you heard about Nick Splatt. Okay,
yeah.
So that shows all the 90s cartoons, and I was really geeked about it. And apparently that's $5.99 a month. That's not bad, right? But then there's
right, sure.
A premium bundle for $9.99, and it's part of the VRV. Premium bundle, and you get access to Crunchyroll, Funimation, Shudder, Drama Fever, Nerdist, blah, 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 all this stuff. Do you know anything about that?
Well, now I literally am looking at it right now after you said it, and I'm like, oh, I can watch Doug, or I can watch Freakazoid, or these are some of my favorites, you know. Or,
right,
or
that's
Guts
what I was thinking.
If you remember Guts, you know, it's kind of interesting because I see this go two ways before, right? Where a small niche service will come out and kind of focus on a specific, you know, type of content. Like, and here they're joking about like 90s kids, you know, getting their kicks of, you know, their favorite cartoons from their childhood, or, you know, like Crunchyroll with anime. At the end of the day, though, I still feel like this is all going to move towards one giant black hole named Disney or Netflix. And, you know, so I look at these companies and part of me wonders, you know, okay, is this an acquisition target? You know, I think I'm scrolling through VRV right now and I'm not sure if any of this is Disney content, but I would imagine that Disney is not going to allow more segmentation of their existing content. They're going to want it all under their own roof. So it's fun to see these little guys pop up because I think we need the little guys to keep the big streaming giants on their toes. But, you know, I'm not sure if I would invest if that's the question, because you just never know how long these guys will be around.
Because I was thinking, Doug, wasn't that a Disney show?
I don't know for sure, but isn't Nickelodeon owned by Disney? Or I might be getting that wrong.
You know what? Nickelodeon went bankrupt years ago, so I'll be honest, I don't know who owns them.
Oh, that's right. It's Freeform now, isn't it? Or something like...
No, I'm looking at it now, like trying to look up some stuff, and I know for a fact that Doug was on Nickelodeon, and then it went really weird when it went to Disney. I remember as a kid thinking, like, why did they do this? So I know that it's owned by Disney. So a lot of these cartoons are owned by Disney. So you're right. How long is this going to last?
Like, you know, at the end of the day, we're all going to be serving one of two gods, and it's either going to be Netflix or Disney.
You know, I wouldn't be mad about that. At least it narrows it down a little bit.
Right. I mean, the whole point of this whole thing of, you know, getting rid of cable was to just have, you know, pick what you want, you know, and, you know, I do appreciate that. That's kind of why I'm curious if Disney goes that direction. A, if it'll be successful, and B, you know, is there a way I can spend $30 a month and get everything I want, you know, because that's less than I'm even spending now without cable, but on just streaming services, you know, with HBO, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, like, you know, I'm spending $50 a month. And, you know, I originally used to only spend on Netflix because it was so good at the time. You know, it was at $10 a month. Now it's getting more and more expensive as the trend keeps getting more popular.
I have to say, I was watching a couple things on Netflix, and one of the shows I was really looking forward to was Disenchantment, and I kind of liked it and I kind of didn't, but did you have a chance to see it? I don't want to spoil it.
Disenchantment is the Matt Groening cartoon, correct?
Yeah, that's it.
Wasn't sure if I had really high or really low expectations for this, but I'm not convinced that it's not the Matt Groening I was hoping for, I guess, you know, and maybe it gets better. You know, you know, I go back and I watch like the first season of, you know, Futurama or The Simpsons especially, and those are always a little bit wonky. And so, you know, I trust that he can establish a good story. It's how much runway is Netflix going to give him to do so with this? I don't know. And even more, do I have the patience for it anymore? You know, like, you know, as a young kid and The Simpsons were on, it was like what you watched. You know, there weren't like 90 other options. And now it's kind of like, okay, well, do I have the patience to sit through this development? I don't know. You watch it?
I watched the whole thing, and I'm a huge Futurama fan, and I love how Futurama, there's little Easter eggs in the beginning of the very first episode that coincides with some of the very end of the series. And I love how it's almost circular, right? They really took their time with the story. And I was hoping the same thing with this. I have to say, man, it is so slow. For the first 6 or 7 episodes, I was kind of like, okay, I'm really trying here. I hope there's not that many left.
Part of me wonders, is it me now? You know, am I just not patient enough for this stuff? I don't know. I like Matt Groening a lot. Like you just said, Futurama is probably in my top 3 or 5 all-time favorite shows. So, you know, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. Nothing that I've seen or read so far has been like, yeah, I got to watch this, you know. It's definitely on the back burner for me, but, I wish it wasn't. I wish it was something I was excited about.
Yeah, you know, I was looking to see how many episodes was in season 1 of Futurama. I think it was 13 episodes.
Yeah, probably a half season order exactly for the first show.
And it had excellent pacing. I was hoping for the same with this one. It was too slow for me. And it got good at episode 10, and now we have to wait. And I thought this was kind of crappy. I really wanted a little bit more, at least not to be left at it wasn't exactly a cliffhanger, but it definitely made you want to say, okay, now the story is interesting. Now I would expect the next episode to be a cliffhanger. And instead, I was kind of left hanging. I'm hoping that they give it another season just to give it some kind of closure.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure they will. You don't bring on Matt Groening for one season.
Was there anything on Netflix or Hulu that you watched this month that you were like, oh, this was so awesome?
Yes, I've been in Infantville, so I haven't had a ton of time to like dive deep into a really exciting show, but I really like some of the kind of like the docu-series shows that have come out recently. There's one called Dark Tourist that's really fun, where the host kind of dives into like creepy tourist destinations and like in like really like kind of weird and out there cultural thing, like culture stuff. It's a fun show. I'm also getting pretty excited for Ozark season 2. I've always kind of joked that this is like Breaking Bad light, but the second season's coming out in a couple weeks, and I'm pretty excited about that one. There's also this show that we've been watching, and I embarrassed to admit it, but it's called Magic for Humans, and I don't know the magician's name, but he goes around and does magic tricks. And I hate to admit this, but I just love watching people do magic. I feel so dumb, but, you know, I enjoy it so much. And those are kind of just lighthearted shows that I've been enjoying. How about you?
I'll be honest, Disenchantment, that was probably it. I've been actually keeping up more with what Netflix has been doing than actually watching what they're putting out there.
That's kind of the hole I dug myself into. You know, when I started writing about this 4 or 5 years ago, they were putting out a show once every maybe 2 or 3 months, and it was a foregone conclusion that I would just dive in and watch it, right? Now, they put out so much stuff on a daily basis, even, it seems. Now, I'm not saying that they've put out a lot. I think the thing they're suffering from is a quality decline. It's definitely a quantity game for them now, which is, you know, I think the direction they kind of have to go. But even 3 years ago, if a Netflix original came out, I watched it. Like, I would give it at least half a season. There's shows now that I don't even know exist on Netflix that are Netflix originals, you know? And I'm covering this daily, and so to fall that far behind, even though I'm supposed to be in the loop on this stuff, is a little frustrating.
Yeah, it's funny. The news that I was keeping up with is Gravity Falls. I actually liked that cartoon. It was on Disney, and it was a weird little sci-fi time space continuum thing, and I like that kind of stuff. The creator of Gravity Falls, Netflix, actually signed him to a deal, multi-year deal.
Right.
I'm like, what's he going to create? More cartoons, or is it going to be something live action? And then they also have a creator, Harlan Coben. I guess he did some kind of thing called with Safe. So now Netflix wants him, and they're just like eating up all these people who make content.
Yep. And this is what's going to be so funny to watch is like they're going to pay these people tens or hundreds of millions of dollars, or give them budgets, not necessarily pay them that much money, but give them budgets to just kind of run wild. And you know, more than anything, I think it's just a bid to keep them away from competition, if that makes sense. You know,
ooh.
Like, you know, you hear sometimes that they're giving, you know, the X creator $100 million to write 3 shows for the for Netflix, and it's like, that's a big budget. And then part of me just wonders if it's mostly just to keep that person away from Disney for 5 years, you know, because Disney's going to do the exact same thing. And, you know, I think we've joked about before, like, this is going to just absolutely, like, crush the small cable networks who are just not going to be able to compete.
That is crazy. I didn't even think of it like that, but you're right. I mean, this guy, Alex Hirsch, and I think I'm saying his last name wrong, but the creator and director of Gravity Falls, Gravity Falls was on Disney. So they kept him away.
Funny.
Yeah, right? They keep him from going back to Disney. And this guy, he collabs with the Rick and Morty guys. So, yeah, they go back and forth. Like, they always put Easter eggs in their own shows. Like, oh, here's an Easter egg of Rick and Morty and Gravity Falls and vice versa. So it's actually kind of funny that you're like, oh, they're just trying to keep them from going back to Disney. I can see that. Absolutely. You're right. Wow. That's smart business right there.
Yeah.
But when it comes to original content on Netflix, do you think they're going to have to bump it up a little bit? Maybe go back to their roots of doing more documentaries? Or I don't know. What could they do to stay in the game?
I hate to offer them any advice because if you look at their company performance, they're just they apparently are doing fantastic. So who am I? You know, I think we just got some more numbers that they've got, I don't know, 140 million subscribers now, and they're, you know, far outpacing everybody. And I mean, you know, while Disney is certainly a threat, you know, one thing I would comment on is I don't think people are going to necessarily unsubscribe from Netflix when Disney launches. You know, I think that might happen a little bit, but I think it's kind of, I'll just have both. I really don't see any reason I would ever cancel my Netflix subscription, if I'm being honest. Like, no matter how many more competitors come out, like, they've kind of always just been a company I've given my $10 a month to or whatever. Disney has the position of having to convince me to now pay for their service, you know? So Netflix has got there early enough where I'm not convinced they're going to lose a ton of sleep over Disney in the short term. They might long term. They got in a bunch of trouble for this month, but I don't think they do a good enough job marketing the content they do have. You know, like we were joking about all these hidden categories, like there's so many things that I don't know are on Netflix, and I wish, you know, there was just a little bit easier way to discover it besides their existing interface. And, you know, I don't know if you heard, but they tried to introduce kind of like, well, we'll just call them ads, but Netflix kind of went back and forth on what the exact definition of a commercial is. But, you know, between shows as people were watching, there'd be a commercial for a Netflix show that popped up, and everyone on the internet just absolutely lost it over this. But, you know, Netflix is trying to just promote their content a little better, and I think that's the right strategy. I just don't know if interrupting people binge-watching The Office for the fifth time is the right way to do it.
I'm so glad you talked about binge-watching. Did you hear about what Guy Pearce said, that Netflix prohibited them from using the word binge during the promotion of the Innocence?
I just read that today, and I was like, wait, what?
Yeah. I read that article.
Netflix invented that term. You'd think they would just own it, you know? And I didn't read too far into it, so I don't know if there's what reason Netflix was giving, but it was like, seriously?
Their thing is that the word binge, it's too closely used negatively, like binge drinking or binge eating.
Okay.
So they're like, ooh, binge watching? Is it just as bad? I can see the idea of it, but I've never took binge watching as a negative thing. It was more like binge watching, you know, I'm binge watching the show again. It's more of what it is rather than it being something negative. But that's me.
If you read like Google's branding guidelines or Adobe Photoshop's branding guidelines, they say, don't say I Googled something. Don't say I Photoshopped something. Say I used Photoshop too, or I used Google to do this thing. And, you know, part of me wonders if there's probably like legal reasons for that, but, you know, I'm sure the legal department hates it and the marketing department probably loves it. I imagine like Netflix marketing department is like not embarrassed to like binge watch, you know, the new season of Ozark. You know, that's just what people do now. And, you know, to come out and say like, oh, we don't want to promote that anymore. I'm curious which part of the company is trying to get away from people, because it's, you know, it's not going anywhere. People are going to say it no matter what, but be like, I'm with you. I don't really see too much negative connotation with it.
So for this upcoming month, for Hulu, Amazon Video, and for Netflix, anything special we can expect or should be watching?
So Netflix released last year this fake documentary series called American Vandal, and I absolutely loved it. It was so funny. It was ridiculous, but it was kind of like a mock documentary series. They have a second season of that coming out this month that I'm kind of excited for. Black Panther is actually going to come out on Netflix in the United States. I absolutely love that movie, so I'm excited for it. And then the fifth season of BoJack Horseman comes out, and that's kind of been one of my slow burn cartoon Netflix shows that I've just kind of enjoyed always kind of watching. Hulu, of course, has Fall TV. You know, this is their big season for next day television, where everyone's watching, you know, whatever's on the channels that they cover. So that's kind of been their focus this month. This upcoming month will be all the new shows coming out on network television. And then Amazon still has Jack Ryan coming out this Friday. The Office guy, Jim from The Office, is in it. And I'm so excited to watch it because I hate to say I've typecasted him in my mind, but I'm curious to see what that show looks like. It's kind of gotten like okay reviews, so I'll check it out.
All right. Well, thank you, Rob, for joining me. I really appreciate you being here. And for those listening, where can they find more information about you?
Yeah, they can check us out at extremist.com, where hopefully we've got the latest news on all your favorite streaming services.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapaine.com. That's MasonVeraPaine.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.